Is your team not performing well? Is morale low and turnover high? Are you falling further behind the competition? I'm here to help. I'm your host, Shaney, and this is the Leadership Show, where business strategy and culture finally meet, and we make the long-awaited shift from rhetoric to results. I promise I'm not your typical boring leadership consultant, and I will help you get your shift together. Let's do this. Welcome, Leadershifters, to another version of the Leadership Show. I have the pleasure today of being joined by Andra Limon from Austin, Texas. Howdy.
Hi.
Leadershifters, Andra is one of the most interesting people I think you are going to meet on my show. And that's saying something because I've had a lot of really freaking interesting people on the show already. Andra is the founder of the Kindness Campaign, which is a nonprofit trying to deal with the issues around bullying, and we'll talk a lot about that. She is also the vocalist and drummer in an all-chick band down in Austin, Texas called The Misses, as well as being a sought-after keynote speaker and a super mom. Don't know if I covered them all, but if I've missed anything, I'll let you fill the Leadershifters in. So welcome to the show, Andra.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much. Wow, that was quite the intro, and I really appreciate that. I could sit here all day with you. Thank you so much.
Well, you know, I think that you've done some really interesting things, and you juggle a lot of balls. I think Leadershifters are going to be really interested in hearing what you have to say around pursuing your passion and pursuing interest in the service part of your life. I just think there's you do a lot of cool shit.
Yeah, you know what? Every day I wake up and I'm pretty excited about the stuff I get to do. And one of the things I think it's really important for people to kind of take a deep breath and realize that, you know, when somebody is on a journey, and when I think about my life, it's definitely this long journey that I'm on, is that it's an evolution. It's a time that, you know, it didn't all happen at once, and it's not all happening at once, but it's happening at different, it's just peeling back the layers, and it's happening step by step. And it's been this journey that I couldn't say that, you know, 3 years ago, I would have ever imagined that I would be, you know, leading a nonprofit that is now, launching nationally. I'm moving into corporate spaces. I'm moving into all these different segments of my life that when I started, I was just kind of reeling in pain and starting from a place of hurt and trying to just deal with what was going on in my own family with my children and trying to solve a problem. And we can get into that. But, you know, I think for people out there that are shifting through life, you don't have to have it all figured out. And you sometimes have to, when you're in the mess of it, when you are understanding what your life's about, to really feel the pain and know that sometimes it speaks to you and there's something beautiful that can come of it. And so if you take it in, you breathe it in, and then you pay attention to it, that something beautiful can come of it. And that's what I've appreciated from my own life. And that's where this can begin.
I agree with you 100%. I mean, I feel like my journey that has collided professionally and personally all was seeded by a tragedy that happened to me when I was 26, almost 27 years old. And my fiance was diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer and died 7 months later. 27-year-old doctor, had all the potential in the world, greatest guy. And that forever changed me and really helped me make a lot of different decisions in my life I probably wouldn't have otherwise made, both at work and just as a human being. So I absolutely want to get into what happened that was the seminal moment for you around the Kindness Project. First, I'd love to hear about, you know, what you did in your former life.
So how far back do you want to go?
Just career-wise, to give folks a sense of, you know, sort of how
I evolved. So, right. Yeah. So, you know, a snippet of who was I prior to this life that, and I think in every phase of my life, I've really enjoyed it, but I feel like I really am where I'm supposed to be today. Mm-hmm. So prior to this though, if you asked me when I was in college and getting my degree, I was kinesiology, sports and fitness management major. I love everything about the fitness and health and wellness. Mm-hmm. And so I think it served me well where I am today in the space of mental health and wellness. So it all kind of serves a purpose, but so back in the day when I was, you know, aerobic director at the Q Sports Club, or even, you know, opening up gyms for Sun City Georgetown retirement community, then moving myself into Dell computers, which led me into actually working and selling computers and having a career there as a, you know, Dell employee. I think all of those stepping stones and shifts in my own life led me into a career where I was in outside sales. Mm-hmm. You know, doing pharmaceutical sales, and all of those had a thread, you know, of a passion for something that I love, of a history for something that I think, and a forecast of something that I didn't even know was coming. So all of that was kind of my background and something that a seed in me that was like, I love this part of my life and being in front of people, but also having that need to kind of the total wellness of people, that health, mental health, and wellness. So I don't know where computers really fit into all of that, except that I can still do a mean, thank you for calling Dell, how can I help you?
well, you a professional in Austin, Texas has to do a stint at Dell, don't they?
Everyone has to have worked and know what 4 gigs of RAM back then and sold an Inspiron, you know, computer, like everybody. And yeah. I will tell you today,
paying the dues in Austin. Yes,
it is. They're some of the best partners. They're some of the most giving people in Austin. And so if you haven't worked there, you have to go work there just to understand the culture. But so that's kind of my past. And I say that it bleeds very much into my future because it makes up everything that's going on today and some of the very, very beautiful relationships we have with what's happening in the kindness campaign today. So,
okay. So take us through. Here you are, woman who has pretty much has it all by a lot of standards, right? You've got a great career, you're married, 2.3 kids, white picket fence kind of situation going on there. What happened that led you to shift and start the kindness campaign?
So one big thing that was happening at the time when the kindness campaign, what I like to say, was kind of birthed and kind of evolved and now leads my life, was I was in a band, an all-female rock band, and I am today. So I didn't bring that out in this conversation, but that is something that I thought was just like a hobby. Now that I am running a record label, I've launched my latest EP. It's an all-female rock band. It's very fun. We're called The Misses. Check us out.
I will get to the rock band. I actually would love to lead with that, but let's get to
the So I was very much in the throes of my life, of enjoying my life. And mm-hmm. One of the big things was we had created this magic mirror and we were seeing many children and really talking to children, you know, coming to the magic mirror. And there's a video that I'd love for anyone watching to go see. It's on YouTube called The Mrs. Magic Mirror. Okay. And it puts people, and you can also go to our website, themisses.com, and it's the magic mirror section and you can read from it there. But on there is where we brought people to kind of see that they're enough, to help them see their image. So I was kind of already doing this in my music. I was talking about really wanting people to feel they were enough and helping people walk themselves through a journey. Because at the time I was a mom, I was a wife, and I was finding my own passion. And which as a businesswoman or as a mom, sometimes that's not allowed, or we feel it's not allowed.
Right.
And, you know, you feel guilty about it. And so I was really enjoying this life and this song we had written about being enough. And what we ended up doing was taking this magic mirror out on tour. Okay. And when you watch the video, you'll know what we're talking about. We'd bring them up and we'd ask people, how do you feel when you look in the mirror? People would rate themselves. And as they were doing this, what we found was the majority of people didn't like what they saw when they looked in the mirror. But what really was happening was kids were coming up to the mirror. And we started hearing kids open up saying they were alone, they were scared. Some of them would even go as far as to telling us that they felt that they were gay and they've never told anyone. Mm. There were things that were said that today, and even today, as we've carried on with the magic mirror, were impacting all of us, and we didn't know what was coming. We didn't know what was happening. In the midst of all of this and all these feelings, a very dear friend of mine, her daughter, she was a teen, she was a young teen, committed suicide. And so I've got all this data coming in of these
bullying.
Oh, it was due to bullying.
Yep, that's.
And I've got all these kids that I'm seeing coming to our magic mirror. I wrote a song saying I don't feel enough. And then I have my very, very dear friend and her daughter commit suicide. My life stopped because I'm living a life I want. I've got a perfect life. Got my kids, my daughters, my husband, and I cratered. And in that moment, I was working from a place of fear in my own children, in the world, what's happening? Why are all these people feel this way? Why do I feel this way? So in that moment, I started reaching for my children and trying to connect with them harder than I've ever done before in my life. Mm-hmm. And I created a journal, and it was simple. I was like, let's make a game of it. You know, but you know, at that time there were these, it was almost 4 years ago. There were these, you know, apps coming out, which seems weird to say apps were coming out. Apps were out. And I was like, let's make it a game, like a sticker game. And so we started doing this, and it was something we were doing together. And we created this character called Enuffy Buddy. And Enuffy Buddy was different. He was blue, he had these antennas, and he started going on a journey, and he was adopted, and he felt like he didn't fit in. And so my girls and I started creating this journey for him where he could, it still makes me a little bit sad, where, you know, he went on a journey where he was bullied and where he just didn't fit in. And so I took it to my kids' school, and everybody loved it, and we basically did a launch there. I didn't realize I was doing a launch. And then four other schools wanted it. So then I started taking it around, and pretty soon all of AISD wanted this journal. Well, if anyone knows, I kept saying, I'm just a mom. This is not my job. So by then that was kind of the launch of TKC. And that was a little over 3 years ago. And after that moment, we have been on full scale, full tilt. I hired an educator, someone who, a veteran, 25-year teacher, to come in and help me really create curriculum. One, I learned 1 in 4 kids come in the school system experiencing trauma by the time they are 3. I also learned that the second leading cause of death for teens is suicide. So when I kept looking at all the statistics and looking at everything, I thought, I've got to help. So that's where the Kindness Campaign was born. It was born out of a lot of my own pain, but also out of a lot of joy I was giving to so many kids and the experience I was having with my own daughters and really trying to create a connection that I felt was needed among not just me, but among all parents and their children, right, and teachers.
You're doing people such a big favor, because when you fast forward through people's lives and you get to coach them as executives, which is one of the things I do, self-esteem is such a huge problem, and it holds people back from so many things. And at that age, it's become so much part of the narrative that plays in their head over and over again that it's harder to get over it. So if you can get children, get people when they're children to turn those stories around and realize I am enough, and who cares if I'm different? Like, being different is what makes me great.
Absolutely. I mean, that
breaks my heart.
That image is everything. And that's the foundation of what we teach. And since we've created everything, I've had massive volunteers. We've partnered with Lady Gaga and her Born This Way Foundation. It literally, it's gone from this little what I call project in my home. We used to literally meet at my apartment, and now we're so big. We're like, wait, we need to pull up chairs to the table, you know? And it's so, so wonderful, because what's happened is we're changing lives. We're shifting everybody's perspective and the way that they view their own life and how they can contribute, whether it's their time, their money, their energy, and their own upbringing of their own children or in their corporate world. Because now what's happening, I just got out of a meeting today, which I'm so excited about, is we're partnering with, we've been working on corporate kindness. So my goal and how our business model will be very different from any other nonprofit out there is we'll take our model, and I look at it like kind of like a rotating, like a model. We'll have our funding model will be that when corporations buy into our license, you know, working our platform, which will help create a kinder learning environment for and actually a kinder community for their workers, they will be working our platform all based on our pillars and what kids are learning. It then funds their community of learners in their community, in their schools, because if they buy our platform, we then fund it back into their community. And so it's just a model that just works like this, unlike any other traditional nonprofit.
Oh, that is genius.
So we just made a big deal today, and we've got other big corporations coming on board to help us modernize our tools and, you know, make impacts in high schools and in other things like that. So I just know that there's such a need out there. And with our curriculum, with our interactive programs, with our magic mirror, there's just no stopping positivity that can happen for social emotional learning. And with the people we have on board, from Harvard people to, you know, all these researchers and people who really want to make an impact and difference, I feel together we can all do something and really make a big difference.
That's amazing. So the sponsors I saw on your website, like the Cisco's and Nordstrom's and Kind Bar, which how could Kind Bar not hook up with the kindness campaign, right?
They're awesome. Yeah.
Are these the sorts of companies that you're talking about are funding this unique model, or are?
Yes. Yeah, so we have what I consider like in-kind donations. And then okay. We have people who would be part of that corporate plan who would actually have their employees working our program.
Okay.
So people would probably be people who could sign up and have their employees benefit from all the curriculum we created. And then that money, that donation would then fund our curriculum.
Okay.
But then we have people like Kendra Scott who donates jewelry as incentives to our teachers, who then do surveys, which gives us data that we need to be able to, you know, further our curriculum and make sure it's the right curriculum that we're giving to the students. So it's like everybody does their part. So whether it's Kind Bars, who this weekend we have a Kind 5 program going into a high school, which, oh my gosh, it's so cool. We have a social media time capsule. We have, you know, music and kindness. And it's just like we go on site. We have close to 200 kids that where we go, we bring 4 magic mirrors and we go in and we just go crazy with giving them things that are fun. Not Nuffy Buddy. That's not cool at high school. But we do fun stuff around, you know, what it high schoolers are just different. You got to make sure we connect with them on that level. And Kind Bars will be there. Waterloo will have, you know, they come in because we need, obviously we have to feed them, you know, give them bio breaks. Right. We were talking about that. We were doing our schedule and someone said, oh, we should put a bio break in there. I'm like, you think? It's 4 hours. So it's stuff like that where we have, you know, really amazing partners that step up where we need them most. And then we have people like Cisco who they're like, we said we need to get our trademark for our magic mirror. And they're like, we'll step in, we'll sponsor the magic mirror, or we'll sponsor a Nuffy Buddy because we know that's really critical to what you guys need to protect your, you know, your stuff, you know, and we're like, thank you so much. We need this, you know? So it's just, I think what it is the power of kindness. And when people see the need, and at the end of the day, we're saving lives.
Yes.
And that's the goal. and for humanity, for kind leadership. If we take a graph and we just start at three, and then we look at who later will be a three-year-old, which one's going to be the president, and we say, can we give them all this curriculum and feed it into the system, and then one day we'll have a kind leader right here. Wouldn't it be great that they had all this social emotional learning and all of this wonderful stuff by the time they got there? I mean, it would just be so incredible to have that platform. Yes, IQ is important, but I read all these Harvard Business emotional intelligent books, all these, can it be taught, all those things. It can be taught. And if we do it at three, it can be learned.
Yeah. It can be taught and learned at older ages too. I mean, honestly, what you're saying resonates so much for me, because I'm up to something similar in the corporate environment, trying to change cultures to be kinder, gentler, more supportive. Not because I think everyone should sit around and hold hands and sing kumbaya instead of working, but what I know, I was a leader for many years, is happy, engaged employees are more productive, they're more loyal, they serve customers better. Everybody wins when people are kinder and more empathetic. And so, I mean, I think tackling this from all angles is what the world needs. And I'm just so inspired to hear what you're doing. And I start to think about, okay, I also work a lot with diversity and inclusion groups within corporations, because those tend to, the diverse groups in organizations tend to be the ones to whom people are not necessarily so kind, either overtly or covertly. And they've got to try and reverse that, right? And I'm guessing, as you were talking about, that the tools, the program, the methodology that you use is absolutely translatable into that setting.
That we're very mindful of that. That's actually a huge piece of what we try to incorporate in our corporate platform, as well as in a high school platform, because we're made aware of this with our assistant, with the director of health and wellness, about the insurgence of just kids and people coming over, transplants and people coming in, yeah, and the communities, the cultures, and how diverse everything is for high schoolers, and how they don't feel they fit in, and how just culturally it's hard. So then it's hard being a teen, right? Just
always been hard being a teen. Now I can't even imagine with social media how fucking hard it is to have that pressure.
Crazy hard, crazy hard. And the pressure alone, and you know, just what we have to put in place for all of this, and teaching them what their brand is everything. And that's super excited about how we're rolling out our social media time capsule for kids and for students to really grasp what that is in a real cool way. But also just with that diversity, like, what does this mean for you? How does this affect someone? There's so much to it. There's because it carries on. It just does. It does. And, you know, I think we all can say we had a bullying story back in our day. Or maybe yesterday at the Starbucks or whatever, you know, but you know what I mean? Like maybe the grocery store, wherever it was. The point is that we can tuck those feelings away. It doesn't have to be played out on social media, but our children don't have that luxury anymore. It's like national televised news for them. It's played out on a loop, rotating. And we as parents today don't really have the capacity to know how to parent to that. And they don't really have the capacity to know how to deal with it. Mm-hmm. So 9 times out of 10, they are on this slope going down where they don't know how to get back up to know it's going to be okay. And so these are the tools we have to get them, to give them, to get them through.
Yeah.
That's where we are right now. I believe our 3-year-olds and our 4-year-olds are going to have a better cushion. But right now we've got all these other kids, and that's why the suicide rate is not going down right now. So we've got a lot on our hands. It feels like a really big mission, but I don't think that I feel like there's so many people getting behind it every day. I had an email in my inbox this morning from, I won't mention right now, but from a huge company that's like wants to talk with us because they want to get on board. And they're like, this is our new mission. We were this, and now we're coming over because we see the importance of suicide prevention, and we want to help. And it's like, great, let's get together. And I feel like the more we all come together under that, there are other things. The first main thing for you with what you're doing, empathy is everything.
Yes. It's, you know, do you follow Jack Ma, the founder of Alibaba?
Oh.
You know, one of the, I guess after Jeff Bezos, probably the richest man on the planet.
Yes.
He talks about LQ, love quotient. You were mentioning earlier, you put up the Harvard book. So, right, there's technical skills and emotional intelligence, or EQ, was right. All the rage. And it's really morphing into love quotient. And not about, like, definitely not, am I loving my coworker, right? certainly not in a biblical sense, but more, am I loving my coworkers as human beings and appreciating them and having that empathy?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That empathy, and that translates, I think, across cultures, across nonprofits, across corporations. It is a thread that unites us all. And something that can easily be taught, and is something that is a huge focus for us. So I think that, you know, under that, you know, love quotient, or under any of that, it can be fed. And I think the more that we can all really focus in on that, and I think people are getting it, the higher we can, you know, support one another to a level where we can help prevent some of the ongoings with the suicides. And even with our, I was talking, you know, I write music, and I do a lot of the fun stuff is really in that, and really writing music that speaks to what's going on, but also to a place that moves people into a really uplifted direction. Mm-hmm. And I wrote a song last weekend, because I said I've been writing the song for over a year. It's just been in my mind. And I was texting with, we have a creative director we work with a lot. And I said, I've got to get it out. And so usually as a band, we write together. But so I just said, I've been writing it for a very long time. But I had another friend of mine whose daughter committed suicide. And I, because of the work I'm in, I talk with a lot of people. And so we were instant messaging, which seems really weird to be instant messaging about all this stuff. But we're instant messaging. And she was kind of heavy on my heart and my mind. And it parlayed into the song finally came out that I've been wanting to write. And I told him that I feel like the words that kids and that people are feeling right now is a sense of loneliness that is just kind of driving people. They can be in a crowded room, they can be wherever they are, but there's this sense of loneliness happening because they have their phone.
Yep.
They have it here, but they're isolated. They're nowhere.
Yep.
And so there's so much that I get to say through my writing and through what I do, but the beauty of it is that I want to connect with teens and connect with moms that are lonely, people that are, you know, and it's through all of that, the exploration of what we're doing, that's really fun. Yeah.
So amazing. Okay, we're going to definitely have to talk about collaborating and help, how I can help you spread this message, because it's you're up to amazing things in the world, and the effects will be felt for not just years, but I think generations. As adults, children who have the tools grow up to be more well-adjusted adults, and then the crescendo that results from that is tremendous. So thank you for what you do and for being a role model for, because I think a lot of people don't know what to do with this. Like I can't imagine anybody listening to this right now or watching this right now doesn't know someone who hasn't committed suicide, right? Whether it's a teen or an adult. I mean, I even look at my Facebook feed almost every single day. Someone's posted one of those, you know, my house is a safe haven, and it's a message about mental health and suicide and reaching out. And I mean, an amazing story I heard told. I went to a workshop at the University of Miami earlier this year. It was called the World Happiness Summit.
Oh, fun.
Have you heard about this? It's only been going on for 2 years. So they call it WHASU for short, World Happiness Summit. It's been going on now for 2 years. The third one is coming up in the spring. And one of the speakers they had there, well, actually, they had a couple different speakers from Google. One of them was Mo Gawdat, who wrote the happiness equation, or sorry, it's called Solve for Happiness. And he's basically figured out what the equation for happiness is. And he was chief business officer of Google X for many years. Then he wrote this book, and now he's resigned from Google and is traveling around the world spreading this message of 1billionhappy.org. That's his nonprofit. But there was another gentleman from Google who got up and was talking about some of the social missions that companies can be making, even aside from CSR initiatives, right? And they talked about the guy who was like their chief medical officer or something. And what he noticed, he was horrified. He noticed how many hits they were getting every day for the word suicide. And at one point, when you Googled suicide, what came up as all the top hits on the first few pages were all the various and sundry ways you could take your own life. Well, that's not really helpful. And he was, and this is, so he's a doctor, he's horrified, he sees this, and yet he knows that the culture at Google is nobody messes with the algorithm. Like we, right, it's, mm-hmm. The algorithm is the law, and it's, oh, what's the word I'm looking for? It's Switzerland. That's not the word I'm looking for, but it's neutral, right? The algorithm isn't biased, okay? Nice. And yet he elevated this concern all the way up, and the senior leadership was like, well, of course we need to mess with the algorithm or fix the algorithm in this case. And so what they did was, now when you Google suicide, the first thing that comes up is the 800 number for the National Suicide Hotline. And it's one of the rare instances, if maybe not the only instance, where they did that. And he gave that as an example of sort of activism in the daily course of business.
Oh, wow. That's really incredible that they did that. That's great.
Yeah. I'll send you my notes so you can see, and maybe you join me at this conference next year. It's amazing.
Yeah. I just finished reading a book, The Happiness Equation. That might have been, related to that. That's wonderful. Well, you know, I think the world is moving in that direction. And I think the first thing is awareness and getting a group of people together to, I love the reason I named the kindness campaign, the kindness campaigns, because that's what we're about. It's, you know, the end result is saving lives. And we know there's an issue around what's going on, but the end result is there's a lot of fun to be had around all the learning and the joy that we get to bring to lives around doing what we do. And the kids don't know, the young kids, they just think they're getting to have fun. And that's the point.
Right.
You know,
and teaching them at an early age that they have the choice to be kind. Right.
Yeah.
And that's part of what I help culture shift with organizationally, because people get like in their ruts and in their habits with their filters. And I mean, an example, just yesterday I was working with a group of leaders, and they were complaining about somebody who sort of it was a new employee who on his first day was actually being a total asshole. And I said, listen, maybe this guy's just a jerk. I said, but maybe he's got something going on in outside of here that none of us have any idea about. And I said, raise your hand. And there are about 25 people in the room. Raise your hand if you've ever behaved in a way that you're not proud of, that you're embarrassed about, that you wish you could take back, not just in front of coworkers, but in front of anybody. And every single hand in the room went up, right? Because we've all been triggered by a fight with a spouse or a kid, and then been a bitch to the barista or to someone standing in front of us at the line in the grocery store because they're taking too long, or whatever. And then when we reflect back on it, we're like, oh my God, I was such a jerk. Like, why wasn't I kinder? Right.
Right.
And I'm trying to shift people to think like, what story am I making up here? And what's the story that I could shift to that involves more kindness?
Right. And the thing is one act or one moment doesn't define who you are. It's all, it's the story that is made up of who you are. It's your brand. And that's kind of it's the brand of who you say you are. And as long as you stick to that, I usually tell people there's three things. It's like, you have your Instagram, your Facebook, and your Twitter, right? So those are, what would you post on those to make up, if you could only post three things on there to make up who you are, three pictures, what would they be?
Okay.
And those are the three things that make up you. And you're like, okay, well, I would put the missus, I would put the kindness campaign, I'd put my family. Now there are things I would drill down in between each of those that make up who are me, you know, all those things with the family and how I worship and all those things, you know, but those three things are me. Outside of that, you know, that's other stuff. Now I might veer from that occasionally, but that's my brand and that's who I am. And that's how I want to be represented in the world, on social media and everything in between. But occasionally I'm going to skip a beat. I'm going to trip up. That's okay. I can come back to this. It doesn't mean I'm a bad person. It doesn't mean that I'm no good anymore. It doesn't mean all that stuff that we make up in our mind. It just means you're human and it's okay. Get
Absolutely.
Back to the brand that you think you are, but you have to know this first. Find your three.
Right.
Make it simple and then go back to it. And it could change over the years, but have three at all times.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're set.
Three, yeah, okay, so three defining, I'm just writing these down so I can sort of recap them at the end. Three defining things about who you are.
Yeah.
I love it. And you go back to that, that's like stasis.
Yeah, always. And that way, if you veer from it, it's all right.
Yeah.
I tell my kids that all the time. I think kids have it the worst. They, you know, they're caught in like a kind of a whirlwind of figuring themselves out. And, you know, we used to say, and we don't have to get all hung up on this, but we used to say, you know, the child stars, you know, when they were child stars, and where are they now?
Right.
What happened to them? We don't actually have to do that anymore because every child is a child star right now because of social media.
Yeah.
So when you think about that, it's even more important for parents to set their children up for success. And in doing that, it is even more important today for your children to figure out what their brand is. What's your brand? Who are you? And if we're not helping them figure that out, social media will. They'll be on Pinterest. They'll be on Instagram. They'll be following, you know, their favorite blogger. And that person will define who they are, not you, not them. So that is kind of my three. And I tell my girls that all the time. And I'm like, don't beat yourself up if you veer from that. But remember when you're posting, remember when you are liking and sharing things. It needs to fall in line with who you are and your three things.
Yeah. I want to pause right now and just address the leadershifters and encourage all of you to do that. Who are you really? What are the three essential things that you would say you are as a human being? And I don't want it to be, I'm a vice president or I'm a chairman of this board of directors. Like, no, get rid of the labels and the masks and the ego names. Who are you underneath it all? That's one of your assignments if you're listening to this podcast. I definitely want to spend a little bit of time on this band thing because it's so awesome. You're in an all-female band. How long have you been doing that?
So I picked up the drums. It's now about 10 years ago.
Okay.
And I, you know, just like I said, it kind of felt like it was going to be a little hobby thing. I was looking for my kids' music and stumbled upon this drumming situation. where these girls needed a drummer for a band, which was really weird. And I agreed to do it, learned a couple songs, performed with them, was kind of half out of my mind because my daughters were, I had one that I was still nursing and the other one was just barely walking. So I kind of, I think I was sleep deprived at the time, but I picked up the drums and I fell in love with it. I liked the challenge, I think at the time, to mentally go somewhere else while, you know, kids and things, and it was kind of my time. So I've been doing that now for 10 years. I picked it up and started, I was like, I got all my girlfriends together and was like, hey, y'all want to do this instead of a book club? Let's do a band club. Yeah. And let's learn music. We're in Austin, Texas, the live music capital of the world.
Hello. Yeah.
And it could be fun. Like we'll do it while the kids are at school and then we'll pick them up and who knows, maybe we'll like play a song or something. Mm-hmm. Well, that actually catapulted into friends of ours figuring out we were in a band, having us perform live, opening up for them, doing all kinds of stuff. We ended up, we played 80 cover rock music at first. We'd open up for, Bon Jovi for, you name it, we opened up for them. I mean, it was like 80s
just
rock.
Just in Austin or in other venues?
Other people, we were in Vegas. We went to California.
That's awesome.
By the way, we had absolutely no business doing what we were doing. We were a mom band playing music. We'd play like 3 or 4 songs and they would just like open the show. It was so insane. Like Tommy Lee gave me a drum lesson. It was nuts. It was so nuts. I feel like it's like a blur. It was like so crazy how it all started. And it just, people were like, y'all are in a band? Come open up for our band. We're playing the Beauty Bar. We're playing the Moody Theater. I mean,
yeah.
We opened up with a band, Perry, at
fabulous experience.
It was so great. It was so great. And luckily, I think, I don't know if people just wanted to see us play because they're like, couldn't believe we were playing. Like these moms, like they're like, you what?
Four MILFs.
It was kind of a shit show in the beginning. Like it was, but I mean, you know what the thing was? It was like, we all loved it so much because we were just like, we just loved it. We were like,
we had fun.
We thought I'd clip in my fake hair, ponytail, and we'd like get up there and rock out. Well, anyways, it got to the point where I was like, I kind of really like this. I'd actually like to be good on stage and I'd like to like, let's take this seriously. And we ran into Kathy Valentine from the Go-Go's because she lives in Austin.
Nice.
And I was like, let's write our own music. Let's like take it up a notch. So we started writing our own music, I started my own label, and anyways, one thing led to another, and not all the girls wanted to do that, of course. Some of the girls were like, okay, you know what? That was fun. I actually have like a family and a job. And so fast forward to where we are today, just to pick it up a bit, because it was 10 years of all of this. I have a record label. There are 4 of us in the band. It started off, there was like 8 of us. I have my bass player, who's my best friend from, 20 plus years ago. She was an original. Nice. And then I hired a lead singer or a singer and guitar player and another vocalist and keyboard player who teaches my daughter's piano music.
Okay.
And Jenny and I sing backups and we all harmonize and it's been so much fun. And we write music we play all over town. We just released a full album last year. We're releasing another EP. We tour, we do, if people ask us, we perform all the time. We just finished shooting a music video Tuesday and Wednesday of this week. We were asked to write a song for an animated short film all about mushrooms being united, and it was all about being one. So you talk about diversity. There were red mushrooms and blue mushrooms, and it's the sweetest song called Same Rock. Our song's called The Same Rock. The movie's called The Wrong Rock.
Okay.
It's the sweetest. It's so fun. And so we just did this really funny music video for it. But so that'll be out shortly. But we've got a lot of great songs that are either just fun and fun to do. But then we have a couple that we wrote for a nonprofit here in town to help with domestic violence, and every dollar goes directly to help them. And then we wrote one of our own that goes to help the kindness campaign. So a lot of our work does both. It does everything, but it feeds my soul and I love every minute of it.
Yeah. I was going to say, you are one of the rare people that I've ever met who could put her head down on her pillow at night and say, I'm doing good in the world and I'm having fun. Like, how do you, so some tips for leadershipters, how do you do it all?
I send texts sometimes to my friends. It just says I'm tired.
Okay.
Sometimes I don't, you know, I don't have to put on a facade. Sometimes I'm just tired.
So you say no?
I say no.
Okay.
And I have a wonderful team. I think team matters. I've had to learn to fire people. I think that was hard in the beginning. I've had to learn to say, I love you, but I'm going to have to let you go. Mm-hmm. It's harder with you. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You've got to have a good team, because when you realize that your team isn't getting the goal, everybody has to have that common goal.
Yep.
And if you have so much passion for something, but people aren't with you, it's never going to work. And yep. Love what you do, you got to have the right team. So team is everything for me. And then you got to keep your team motivated, and you got to love on them. You got to keep them motivated. It's a back and forth thing, which can be super exhausting. So then you got to take time out for yourself to recharge.
Yep.
And so those things are super critical. And, you know, I don't think there's one perfect thing. When I travel, I try to read books. The Happiness Equation was one of them. And it was talking about how many hours there are in a week. How can you divide it up so that there's enough hours? And just my number one thing to tell people is try not to waste time.
Yeah.
My time, I'm booked every hour on the hour every day. And when I'm with my kids, I'm with my kids. The puzzle person comes, I have my puzzle persona. I'm, you know, no, you may not pick that piece of puzzle. And I come out with my puzzle voice. Or, you know, I make my kids laugh, you know, I am with them. And then when, you know, it comes time, you know, family time with my husband, with everybody, it's family. And then, you know, try to put the phone away. It's not always possible, but try. And then, you know, when I'm working, I'm here. And then it's on to the next thing. It's so critical to manage your time.
It sounds like you manage your time. And I use this analogy when I'm talking about productivity, and you just really built it up. Your time is like a bunch of puzzle pieces, and they need to fit together into a puzzle. The problem is many people have a lot more puzzle pieces than fit in the picture of a 24-hour day.
Correct. And, you know, I think sometimes people have I think I pick apart like things that are super important to me. Like, there's certain things about like planning my best friend's birthdays. That's really important to me. And so my friends know it. And I'm like, I know I'm busy, but I'm doing it. So like, there's certain things I want to do. And so figure out, prioritize the things that really feel important to you. Even if you are so busy, do it, because you will regret it if you don't.
Mm-hmm.
So find the things that are important. Take time for yourself to have like, oh, I need to take a break here. Because your brain won't work otherwise.
Yep.
And, you know, it's about that time management and having a really great team. Mm-hmm. Because if a team fits with your situation, or if it's just you and you're operating alone, get out that calendar and make sure it's like bam, 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 and schedule the mental breaks, you know?
Yep. Absolutely. Well, thank you for sharing all those tips. This has been so much fun and so inspiring. I feel like we've sort of hit highs and lows and shared sad stories, but at the end of the day, it's all very uplifting to talk to someone who's out there making a difference, spreading the message of kindness, starting at 3 years old. And like I was saying earlier, the effects that will have on society will be unquantifiable in the long run. So really, thank you so much for sharing your story and your passion. And leadershifters, next time you're in Austin, check out the performance schedule for the Misses or any place else you perform. Do you ever perform at Oh my God, one of my friends is a part owner of Stubbs. Do you ever guys perform at Stubbs?
Yes, that's one of our one of the first places we performed. It's such a great venue. It's one of my favorites.
Amazing venue. I love it. And their barbecue isn't bad either.
Yeah, the barbecue is amazing. It's so good. It's so good.
Good. All right. Well, I'm in Austin just in a few weeks, so we're going to have to go to Stubbs.
Oh my gosh. You need to call me when you're here.
100% will.
Okay.
Leadershifters, thank you for joining Andrea and I today. So many important messages. I don't even know where to start. But the first one is, what's your magic mirror, right? Because the magic mirror sounds like it's been super impactful for kids. And I think every human being, even adults, should look in the magic mirror and start to figure out who they really are and what's holding them back. And let's change those things. Kind leadership. Right? Kindness is not just for kids. Tricks are not just for kids. Kindness is not just for kids. How can we, as part of the shifts that we're trying to make in culture so that business strategy and culture meet, mission of the Leadership Project, how can you every single day be a little bit more kind to your coworkers, to your direct reports, to your customers, to your vendors, to your family, to your friends, and equally as importantly, to yourself? Because that's how the puzzle comes together, isn't it? Is you got to have a good team, you got to treat people right, and you have to take care of yourself and say no when things are just going to be too overwhelming and it starts to shoot you in the foot because you've taken on too much. Right. So again, blessings and thank you. And I can't wait to see you in Austin in a few weeks.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Real quick before we tune out here, how do the Leadershifters find you if they want more information, or any of my corporate people, if you want to sponsor the kindness campaign?
Yes, I love that. So you can find everything about the kindness campaign at tkckindness.org. And you can reach out there. I see all those emails. And you can just reach us there. We're also on all, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and you can just, if you just search the kindness campaign, you'll find us.
Okay. Thanks again so much, Andrea. Leadershifters, we'll see you next week. Thanks again for joining us.